The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Okay, and there's some materials if you're interested in. This is a segment for health, law, and labor and employment. So we have people interested in both areas, and so we will talk first. Go ahead, Nancy, you talk.
Hi, I'm Nancy Abramowitz, and I am here to represent the labor and employment side. I am not a straight labor lawyer. My connection to the area is pension law, although I've done a lot of work on behalf of labor unions from the union side, mostly tax and pension work. The law school offers labor law courses. It offers courses in both public and private employment, and I don't know quite who's going to be teaching them next year. Susan Carl usually teaches at least one of the courses, and there's usually an adjunct who teaches public employment law. I, of course, think pension law is critical to labor law, and I offer that every spring. There are a number of other courses I think you're well advised to consider if you're thinking about anything in the area, and I think that Corinne would tell you the same thing. You need to have your basic courses down. You need to take business associations. You should most definitely take administrative law. Mm-hmm. It is really critical, I think, both to the labor and the health side. You should be thinking about, depending on your particular area of interest, you should make sure you take a tax course that really has relevance to both labor and health law as well. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about doing either of these disciplines in a litigation context, you most certainly should be taking evidence. So you've got your sort of basics down there that you need to do, and then to add in the specific areas that are of interest to you. And I would be more helpful if you could tell me a little bit more about what it is that really floats your boat.
Before coming here, I worked for a labor union, and that's
which one?
Unite Here.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Needle Trades.
It's I work for the hotel workers in D.C.
Oh, you know? Okay.
And that's what I'm most interested in is labor side. I mean, union side in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So working for a union or.
You know, in my pension law class, I have a lot of students who tend to work for the various unions. In my practice days, I had done work for actually the National Hotel and Restaurant Workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've pretty much covered the sorts of things that would be of interest to you. And I think there are people on the faculty who are certainly interested in speaking with you and helping you narrow down your job search.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Susan Carl in particular.
Absolutely.
Great thing. Okay.
Yes.
And there are a lot of law firms in town that are on union side.
Mm-hmm.
My former firm is a big union side firm. And I think Proskauer also does union side.
There are a number of them.
Yeah.
There are some.
So there's good job opportunities, not only with law firms, but with the actual entities themselves.
Right.
Not
right.
only the entities, but I have students also, a number of the large unions also have jobs and separate offices for their health and their welfare funds and their pension funds, and they're located very often in Washington, too. And trade associations, there are even trade associations of union plans.
Uh-huh.
So there are
right, and with the healthcare reform, there's going to be a lot more focus on that. So let me talk a few minutes about the health law program. This brochure, which is which you should take, describes most of the courses that are offered here, they're, we're having a new professor, full-time professor, starting in the summer, actually, and she'll be adding to the curriculum eventually. But there are about 20 health law courses offered during the fiscal year, not the academic year, which is just the fall and the spring, mm-hmm. but including the summer Health Law and Policy Institute, and there's flyers on that here too, which offers 10 courses and with a maximum of 6 credits. So there is there's an awful lot of courses you could choose from at the law school. In addition, there's a very active student organization called the Health Law and Justice Initiative, which helps put on symposia and lunch and learns where they bring in various speakers from the local health law bar, from government, from trade and professional organizations, from law firms, and they talk about their specialty areas. There is a publication which is called the Health Law and Policy Brief, which you can, as a rising 2L, join the staff. The latest publication is coming out next week, I think, next week or the week after, and it lists who the co-editors-in-chief and the rest of the staff, and it gives you some information on how you can participate on that. Even if you're working on another journal, you can still work on the brief. And I'm here for students to provide advice to and for students to work with on independent studies. I have dean's fellows every semester and a research assistant in the summer, and we all always work on pretty interesting projects. The law school just entered into an agreement with the Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO, and they have had externs every semester to work on issues involving the Americas. And one student just wrote an article on comparing tobacco regulation in Brazil and the United States. Mm-hmm. And another student is now there working
on...
Lee Warren. She's an LLM student, a patent lawyer, who came to do the health law specialty.
Oh, I'm LLM. Interested. I have a daughter-in-law who's a Brazilian lawyer, and I have a daughter who has a doctorate in public health.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll email you Lee's email address. And so there's that sort of linkage. And as well, I've been practicing law and lobbying since the early 80s. And so I have a very broad network of colleagues who are working in various health industry companies and on the Hill, at HHS, and so I am very interested in helping students get jobs after law school. So we do a lot of career counseling for students interested in health law.
And interning with HHS this summer.
Excellent.
The Office of the General Counsel.
Excellent. Well, one of my former associates when I was at the law firm is there now.
Oh, good.
Her name is Eden Hurd. I don't know if you'll be working with her, because there's close to 100 lawyers there.
That would be these areas are areas where there is job opportunity,
right,
particularly
yeah.
with health. We've got 3 federal agencies now charged with carrying out the health care plan.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we have just two small attendance. I don't understand.
I don't know. We had, by the way, on the labor side, we had a Founders Day event, which last week, on pension and employee benefit law, and It consisted of one panel put on by the courtesy of the Groom Law Group, which is a small sort of labor and pension boutique that was solely oriented towards getting jobs in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
the
another
Groom
thing
people
that we
were
do.
Health people, actually.
Right. And it's another thing that we do a lot of is put on symposia, several every semester. And you can... we should actually do one together.
We should.
Yeah. And... And there's
the reason we say that is because the pension law governs health care plans in the employment context. So
there's a very close connection between the two disciplines.
Okay.
That's one area where there is going to be a lot of job opportunities,
yeah.
both on both the health mm-hmm. care side and yeah. the labor and pension side. Questions now, I think. Probably be best to
For courses for next year, just looking at the different ones in HealthBot, do you think it didn't seem like there was any like prereqs for different courses or seminars, but do you think like HealthBot policy would be a good one to start with?
I do. For the fall, yep. Professor Glazer's course, I would recommend. It's a 4-credit course. And as a 1L rising 2L, you can take the summer Health Law and Policy Institute courses. Mm-hmm. There aren't any prerequisites. They're all 1-credit courses. So depending on what you're doing this summer, if you're going to be mm-hmm. in town, there are courses in the evening if you're working full-time. And also, a lot of the employers over the last couple of years that we've run the Institute have let their summer law clerks leave for 2 days because it's academic credit that you're good. So, I mean, if you let them know in advance, they would, I'm sure, let you take.
When is the application because, due then? When signing up, I guess.
Yeah, you can take the forms. You can register now.
Oh.
You can register online. And here's a description of all the courses. And
I should also put in 2 cents here, wearing my clinical hat, because I am also the tax clinic. But within the clinical program, if disabilities is of interest to you, there is a disabilities rights clinic,
right.
Which...
And some seminars that Professor Dinnerstein does.
Right. And in addition to that, the general practice clinic, I hesitate because it used to be called the civil practice, but it's now the general practice clinic, they tend to handle currently a fair number of bankruptcy cases, but if you are a fan of Elizabeth Warren, who we hope is a nominee for the Supreme Court, bankruptcy is often occasioned by healthcare costs. It may be the single largest thing that puts people over the top. So the general practice clinic probably either takes on directly or comes awful close to health-related issues. And there's also a women in the law clinic if issues of abuse or family, inter-family conflict sort of issues, there's a women in the law clinic. So within the clinical program, there may be things of interest. Mm-hmm. Do you have those in the brochure?
The clinic programs? Yeah. I don't think we have it in
maybe
the brochure.
Maybe that's another thing we should think about, Annie.
Yeah, no, I don't think I do have anything about
the synergies are all here, right?
we have disability in the...
Bob's clinic is actually new, just
here,
2
disability
years
law. Oh, yeah, I do have the clinic.
Oh, okay, excellent.
I do have the clinic. I just...
Okay.
You know, I did this a year ago, and I didn't remember, but we do have the clinic in there. So, yes, I would start with that as the basic umbrella course. And then every other course is touched on maybe in half a lecture, a full lecture, 10 minutes in a lecture. There's no way you can cover everything in the umbrella course.
Yeah.
And that's why we have all these other courses, because they're all sort of segments that go into very detailed analysis of different issues. And some of the courses we offer are skills-based, professional skills-based courses, such as the medical liability class. It's a really intense focus on medical malpractice litigation, and it's taught by a plaintiff's attorney. I do a couple of lectures on expert witness and informed consent and tort reform. I used to co-teach, but I don't anymore. I sort of passed it along to the plaintiff's lawyer. And also, if you're interested in legislation and regulation, there is the healthcare legislative and regulatory process. And we're adding healthcare reform to that starting in the fall.
Do you think that's doable to do if I tried to sign up for the health law policy and that one?
I don't know if they conflict. They might, because both are evening courses. And I'm just not positive.
Yes,
looking at the schedule will help you. Other questions?
I haven't looked at the fall schedule yet,
When do you have to register by?
I'm on Thursday. Next Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not alphabetical, is it?
No, they do
it's a lottery.
In your ID.
I don't know why that's any better or worse than alphabetical.
It's on the registrar's office.
I didn't know either.
I have to get on top of that. Okay. And actually, I have kind of a general question about, I spoke with someone about doing an internship in the fall, and she kind of had an interview over the phone. I mean, she didn't call it an interview, but she just asked when I'd be available to talk, and then we spoke for about 25 minutes, and then she said at the end, okay, well, just let me know when you figure out your schedule, and we'll talk.
Who was this from where?
The NLRB.
You know what? By all means, do it.
Yeah, I
agree.
And
I'll tell you.
But, I mean, how do I kind of go about saying, well, part of determining my schedule will be, you know, she didn't give me a definitive, okay. I mean, she said we'd love to have
right
you.
Write down this name, Elvira Pereda.
Wait, sorry. E-L-E-I.
Elvira. Elvira Pereda. Pereda. And if you give me your email, I'll give you hers. She's a 3L. She's going to work for the NLRB, the job grew out of a summer internship in California, actually. But call her, and she'll tell you what she knows.
Okay.
Might as well speak to somebody who's done it recently.
Yeah.
You know, is the etiquette that you call and say, you know, I'm really anxious to do this. If you can give me the parameters of the time you'll need for me, then I'll be able to better set my schedule. I'd like to start with you because it's so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So give me your email.
Okay.
Or better yet, you know what?
I'll just email you.
No. Go to room 417 and ask Laura for Elvira's email.
Okay. She's a 3L, you said?
She's a 3L. She had been in clinic with me, too, so the clinic person will have her email.
And did she intern this past year, or she's going to?
She interned in California last summer, and it just turned into a job. As a matter of fact, I just did her references for the NLRB, and they just offered her the job.
And that's a good thing about... one of the good things about knowing a little bit in advance of what you want to do, because there are people here at this law school who can really help career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, you're one step ahead of the boat because you have a feeling for what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's really good for
you. You know, the faculty is really sort of mixed, but you have people who come out of private practice, Professor Parvin, Professor Carl, myself, and there are people who really go the extra mile for people who show an interest or ask on the job side. And it seems to me people who don't take advantage of that are wasting their tuition dollars. So you ought to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now how did you get the internship at HHS? Was it the job
met
fair?
At the externship fair? Yeah, mm-hmm. I went there first because I used to... work in policy at Massachusetts. I worked as the chief of staff of the public health committee.
Mm.
And so that was, and I looked a lot on the health care bill in Massachusetts.
Oh, excellent.
I went and talked to her, and then I sent her my materials. And, you know, you don't hear from them for like months. And then I sent her again, like, my final transcript. And they just had a phone interview with me, and then 2 months later, they called again.
Actually, that's not bad.
It's really been in the forefront of healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, Maryland tried to do it, but took the extra step and got struck down on ERISA preemption. But Massachusetts and California have had better luck.
Yeah.
So that's a great experience to have under the belt.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So.
That's
and
great.
I was worried for a while because I didn't know if it was going to be in Baltimore because it originally said Medicaid and Medicare Services and Office of General Counsel, which Professor Marcus was saying is in Baltimore, but thankfully in D.C. not far. So. Yeah.
Professor Marcus is another gem who came out of private practice and, you know,
in government.
And you need to figure out who's there, who's in your area, and you know, find what I would call these gems on the faculty who are really gonna push it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might actually take a copy of
Is
this your only copy?
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's not,
but
not that there aren't other gems on the fat.
I have to start figuring out.
So that's about it. I hope I see you in pension and employee benefit law, both of you, because again, healthcare, that's the structure for.
And you said every spring?
Every spring I offer it. And I try and offer it at 4:30 in the afternoons on either Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday in order to get the cusp between the day and the evening.
And I've done that the past couple of semesters, but my course. This coming up fall will be at night at 6 o'clock, starting at 6 o'clock, because the person I'm co-teaching with works full time, and Lisa Klepper, who did it with me before, needed to do it during the.
Is that Morgan Klepper's wife?
No.
Okay. So is that very frequent that you find courses more in the afternoon, evening, also for like internships for people?
Most people teach when it's convenient for the professor.
And so if they're adjuncts who work during the day, they teach at night. Or if you look at the health law courses, most of them are in the evening, because we want to get the evening students who are working on Capitol Hill doing healthcare stuff or HHS. And there are a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so that's why I try to organize many of the courses. Mm-hmm. So in addition to, because the professors who are adjuncts work during the day, we get the students who are part-time students as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is kind of a general question, but when people do internships during the year, do they just do certain set days of all their classes and then set days of the internship, or do they go back and forth?
Really, your first question was really on target, because it may depend on the...
On their...
Right. Schedule. I mean, I have a student working for me this summer as a dean's fellow who is interning at the Superior Court, where they said, for free, 5 days a week, 9 to 6, and no, you may not do anything else. Well, she said...
I'm committed.
She didn't say that. Mm-hmm. She said to me, I don't know, my evenings are my own. I'm going to come work for you. But,
That's crazy.
I mean, that to me is outrageously demanding on the part of a non-paying sponsor. So, hopefully.
Yeah. A fall internship there, but.
But you know, there aren't that many classes on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can do a full 8 to 10 hours or even longer on a Friday,
mm-hmm.
and then so you can have one full day mm-hmm. in the internship, and then maybe a couple of half days,
mm-hmm.
depending on if you want to do 20 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on the needs of the employer.
Well, and you can also think about flipping from an internship to an externship, where you can...
That's actually what I was...
Okay, so you combine it usually either with a 1, 2, or 3 credit seminar to coordinate with the number of hours.
Right.
So that...
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.